Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
It is the Brett Winterble Show, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Government is not competent on any level. I'm not kidding, and I don't mean to shock you with the obvious, but government is not competent on any level at all. You just heard that soundbite from the person talking about the fact that we're going to probably have gasoline shortages until after Memorial Day. That's 2 weeks down the road. After Memorial Day is 2 weeks down the road. It's almost June. It's May the 14th today. And they're telling you, well, you know, there's going to be gas stations that still don't have gas. Government is not competent. And look, there are two groups of people in this country. I don't know what the divide is. It's not Republicans and Democrats. It's not red states and blue states. It's none of that. It's the people who put their faith in God and the people who put their faith in government. Pick your G. I don't know which G is yours, but you have to pick a G. You either have faith in government or you have faith in God. And if you're an atheist, you can still have faith in God. He's not going to hold it against you. Here's the deal. We're in the midst of a gas crunch. Gas shortages. Don't tell me it's a supply problem. It's a shortage problem. You can't get it at the gas station you want to get it at. It's a shortage issue. You can dither. You can dilly-dally. You can engage in chicanerous wordplay. But the reality is, if you decide you want to drive down the street to the Valero or to the city or to the Citgo or to whatever it is, you cannot get the gas you want in the amount you want at the time that you want right now. And it was different 10 days ago. Government is not competent. The party of government is not competent. They cannot protect you. They cannot keep you healthy, wealthy, well-fed, wise. They can't do any of that despite the fact that they have access to the single greatest pile of looted loot that's ever been looted. Your tax dollars and the printing presses. Government is not competent. Gas shortages, Texas ice storms and grids that went kaput, shutdowns during the pandemic, the coronavirus experience itself, border security, the entire freaking COVID experiment, murder in the streets, rioting, looting, hacking, carjacking. None of it can be stopped by the government. Government cannot protect you. I know it's a hard thing to hear on a Friday because you were counting on government protecting you. Government cannot protect you. They want you unprotected because in their mind, AOC, Bernie, Elise Stefanik, kooky Kevin McCarthy, the whole group, they want you unprotected because then you need them. You need Lindsey Graham to go on Sean Hannity's TV show and tell you that he's really engaged on the issue. You need to see Mark Meadows come in and talk about how good it used to be. But at the end of the day, these guys have lucrative contracts and big paydays coming their way, and they live behind gates and they've got security. And trust me when I tell you, they've got gasoline. No problem. Government cannot protect you, and they want you to feel the desperation of not being protected. They won't even defend your right to free speech. The feds right now are trying to figure out how to cancel you by using the U.S. Postal Service to surveil your social media posts. They're using the U.S. Postal Service to determine whether you're an extremist. 3 months ago, they reached out to Bank of America and asked for everybody's banking records that were in Washington, D.C. to help out with the insurrection investigation. They used your cell phones. They used all of your data. They looked all through it and figured out, hey, were you anywhere near Washington, D.C.? Yeah, in fact, I was in Washington, D.C. on that day. Really? What were you doing there? I was at a layover on a flight that I was taking to Europe. Okay, well, that seems reasonable. Then we don't think you were really at the Capitol rioting. I got to prove who I am. I got to prove what my intentions are. Are you kidding me? I'm the man who experienced 40 days in the postal desert when I could not get my tax returns to my accountant in one of the most exotic vacation of all time. The government can't protect you. Roy Cooper doesn't care about you. Hank McMaster mostly likes you, but, you know, he's going to look out for number one. Joe Biden doesn't know who you are. Doesn't know who he is sometimes. Kamala Harris doesn't want to go to the border. These politicians come around every 2, 4, or 6 years telling you, I'm going to fight for you. I will fight for you. You want to fight for me? Get me some gasoline. Get me some gasoline. You know what voice has been ringing in my head for the last 3 days? That desperate young father who said he was down to his last 20 miles of gas and he had to go to work and he had to get his son to school and he was desperate. So desperate, he turned to expletives on the show because he was so frustrated. They don't care about that guy. How's it make you feel? I'm a talk show host. I get paid to come behind this microphone, entertain you, talk to you, take your phone calls at 704-570-1110. What would you like to say to the politicians?
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
About the current state. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show, and it is wonderful to be here with you. So we've actually got some movement happening now as we start to process through what the CDC guidelines were shifted to last night. You know, this conversation about, you know, if you have been vaccinated and you are around people who have also been vaccinated and you're outside moving around and if you're free and if you're not free or whatever it's going to be. You know, basically the idea that they would remove all these limits on our freedom. The CDC can only recommend limits. They don't have any power to do anything other than recommend or not recommend something. Governor Cooper announced earlier today no more statewide mask mandate, no more mandatory mass gathering limits, no more mandatory capacity limits, no more mandatory social distancing requirements, right? So he's removed all those limitations because enough people, they're saying, have gotten the shots that, you know, we can proceed accordingly. And yet I see kooks from cable TV, kooks, legitimate kooks from cable TV, including one relatively successful kook from last night who was saying that she is deeply disturbed about this move and that she's going to have to rewire herself so as to not view people who are not wearing masks as a threat. I would say if you are committed to wearing a mask, then wear it. And honestly, just wear it. If you feel like you need to wear that mask, if you feel like it's your whoopee, you know, like that blanket you love when you're 3 years old, then you should wear it. Wear it everywhere. Be proud of that mask. Wear that mask everywhere. Say it loud. Sorry, I'm muffled in my mask. But you should feel free to wear that mask. Do yourself a favor. Get a nice big piece of fabric, cut out a flag in the shape of a mask and fly it above your home when everybody else on 4th of July is flying an American flag. Say, listen, I am going to salute the mask, which is what makes us free. Restrictions make us free. And the reason why I say this is, you know, I'm watching the cable channels today and I'm seeing Elise Stefanik is now the number three in the Republican Party. Liz Cheney's been sent packing. Does that get you more employees at your company? Some little spat about who's number three in the Republican leadership? Does that get you more money in your bottom line? Does that get Randy Weingarten to open up the schools so your kids can go to school? Does that get you any of that? Now I'm looking, CNN's got to have tat, you know, tit for tat. You know, I'm looking at CNN and they got AOC says Marjorie Taylor Greene is deeply unwell and a bully. Don't care. Not interested. These two people make $180,000 a year of your and my money to be people who are in the Congress doing literally nothing. And let's not forget that AOC lied about where she was during the insurrection when she claimed they were coming in and banging on her door and hunting her down, and she was two buildings away. Boy, that thing went away pretty fast. See, we need to make it about us. You and me, we need to make it about us and not about Marjorie Taylor Greene. The insurrection, AOC says. We know what the squad stands for. They stand for Marxism. It's pretty clear to me. They want to socialize businesses. They want to take your private property. They want to deny you the ability to keep and bear arms. They want to reduce your free speech. They want to do all those sorts of things that tyrants look to do. Hugo Chavez and Maduro have done it very effectively in Venezuela. And it's worked exactly according to plan. I mean, it's an incredible thing to think about. And so when you put these cable channels on, when you put these talking chat shows on, they're not talking about the stuff that really matters to you. They're not talking to you about whether or not your kid's going to get to have graduation this year. They're not talking to you about whether or not you're going to get to go and watch the track championships or the softball championships or the theatrical presentations. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about not being allowed to attend theatrical presentations, and a mayor stood up as a brave member of society and said, you know what, we'll make our space available for people to come on in from Charlotte who want to do a theatrical performance. Now, suddenly today, everything's melted away, right? They got rid of all the restrictions. Let me reiterate. We're going to pivot to some other stuff, but let me reiterate. Government cannot help you. It can only hinder you. And this is the greatest teaching opportunity for our kids. It was government that shut down your schools. It was government that shut down your business. It was government that stopped your summer plans. It was government that told you you couldn't fly. It was government that told you you couldn't get out of your house. It was government who told you, and government who told you, and government who told you. And tell me you're any better off for the government who told you, because a multimillionaire host over there on MSNBC said that she has to rewire her brain and not see people who walk without masks as a threat. You want to tell me about Trump derangement syndrome? I'll give you a government.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Derangement syndrome. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. Brett Winterbull Show. Good to be here with you. Coming up at the top of the 4 o'clock hour, I've got a big reveal. A big reveal. I had posted something up on my Facebook page last night, and I said I would tell you the rest of the story this afternoon in the 4 o'clock block, in the beginning of that 4 o'clock hour. So you'll certainly be able to hear that story. It's a, you know, I thought I wanted to share a little bit more with the audience, so I thought I should reach out and do that as well. Most people, according to a brand new poll that's out, say that Joe Biden is egging on illegal immigration. Not really a surprise there. Another poll indicates that it appears that Biden is scrambling to try to handle a variety of crises, and that may have been the motivation for the lifting of this mask recommendation from the CDC. My contention late last night was I believe it's because things have gotten awfully close to Dr. Anthony Fauci with the questions of the gain of function experiments that were going on at the Wuhan Virology Lab. And, you know, to me, it looks like we suddenly threw a road flare out there in the middle of the road so that people would go chase that instead of chasing poor Dr. Fauci. Nancy Pelosi has come out and said she doesn't care about the CDC guidelines. She doesn't care about any of this stuff. 100% of the Democrat caucus has gotten the vaccine, but not 100% of the Republican conference has gotten the vaccine. And so until every Republican is vaccinated, we will make you wear a mask at the Capitol. See what I mean by control freaks? These are control freaks. They want to control your life. They want to control your destiny. They want to control all of it. You've been watching this back and forth with the Israelis and Hamas. And I think it's an incredibly interesting story because the Washington Post had something to do with this. You probably don't know this, but I told you I've been sitting at home at night watching the coverage coming out of Gaza and coming out of Israel, where you've had a whole bunch of you've got missile attacks combined with race riots taking place on the streets of Israel. It is a mess. And the president of the United States, Joe Biden, has been relatively silent. Tony Blinken has been silent. He's your Secretary of State. None of them are really talking about what it is that's going on over there. And they're not lending support to the Israelis because the squad gets upset when you throw support to the Israelis. But this is about the best story I've seen in a very long time. The Washington Post inadvertently helped the Israeli Defense Forces head fake Hamas into a massive trap that ended up with hundreds of Hamas fighters dead. I love when the Washington Post is so jonesing for a leak that anything they get, they put out overnight thinking that they can help out the bad guys. And it turns out they get the bad guys killed. The predictable unreliability of mainstream news was used by Israel to draw Hamas forces out of their safe bunkers where they would be exposed in the air. So here's what you have to understand about Gaza, right? Gaza is controlled by Hamas, the Palestinian organization that is aligned with the Iranians, along with Hezbollah and Palestinian Islamic Jihad. So Hamas is controlling Gaza, the Gaza Strip or Gaza and Gaza City. And what they have done since 2014 is build an unbelievable network of underground tunnels. They call it the Hamas Metro. Is really what they call it. They call it the metro, like a subway system. So they build all these elaborate tunnels there across the border from Israel and Gaza. And they use these tunnels to stash weapons, to forward deploy fighters, to send people into Israel to do suicide bombings, all that sort of stuff. And so the Israelis last night pulled something that was just unbelievable. It was a ruse. It was a ruse. Israel moved ground troops into positions of readiness, and Benjamin Netanyahu let it be known that an attack by both ground and air was on the table, and then came a tweet. This is the tweet that went out late last night. IDF, Israeli Defense Forces, air and ground troops are currently attacking in the Gaza Strip. They put that tweet out late last night. Websites of media outlets around the world, including the despicable Washington Post and ABC News, reported the incursion. They put this story out. They said, Israeli troops have entered the Gaza Strip as conflict with Palestinian escalates, Israeli military says, was the tweet put out by the Washington Post. The problem was there was no ground invasion. Remember, the tweet from the Israeli Defense Forces was, IDF air and ground troops are currently attacking in the Gaza Strip. The Washington Post, because it is run by 22-year-old dopes, put the article out that said Israeli troops have entered the Gaza Strip. That's not what the tweet said. It said attacks were taking place in the Gaza Strip. You can fire rockets over the border. You could fire missiles over the border and not be across the border. But those 22-year-olds, the Caitlin Collins types, they just take it and they go, they've entered the Gaza Strip. They didn't. There was no invasion. The IDF had deployed troops along the border. They did not cross into Gaza. What did happen was, in the air, the Israelis had put up 160 fighter bombers in the air. They assembled for a massive bombing run over the Gaza Strip. Their target was what the IDF calls Hamas's metro, that underground network of tunnels. So when the word went out from the Washington Post, all those fighters, all those commanders went running to the tunnels. Running to the tunnels! It's on! We're going to fight the Israeli forces! They're coming across! They've already invaded us! They didn't invade. The airplanes were coming. So they run to the network of tunnels where they have their weapons stored and their forward deployed people stored, expecting to face conflict on the ground. Hamas moved defensive troops in place to square off against the Israeli ground forces. The ground attack never came. But now the defensive forces for Hamas were suddenly vulnerable to Israeli airstrikes, and they dropped a ton of ordnance on the tunnels. 150 targets. They're saying they took out hundreds of fighters. Every one of them, because of the beloved Washington Post, who always gets it wrong. And ABC News, can somebody do a welfare check on Georgi Stephanopoulos? Because he's probably very upset that they were allowed to sucker in the Hamas fighters this way. Because both sides. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
93 WBT. News Talk 1110, 993 WBT. Customers made at least six complaints of price gouging here in Charlotte to the North Carolina Department of Justice as a Charlotte gas station allegedly charged $9.99 a gallon during the ongoing gas shortage in the state. Clarissa Rankin, who's a truck driver, told WBTV that she was filling up her personal car Wednesday night at the Mobile Queens Market on West Sugar Creek Road and said it was $9.99 a gallon for the middle grade, which is labeled as extra. That was for my personal car just to get back and forth to work. Then only was able to get 9 gallons of gas, and that is it. They cut it off after 9 gallons. $90 for 9 gallons of gas. She was told she could only get 9 gallons, and she's got the receipt. The photograph of the receipt is posted in this WBTV webpage. The gas station owner, Ray Shaw, denies any intention of price gouging. Both Shaw and employees at the gas station say the prices are so high to deter people from draining the pumps. He says, I promise you there's no gouging. We're not in this to make a buck. The owner said they've put bags and signs on the pumps, but people keep taking them off to use the machines. So there you go. At 10:47 a.m., the prices at the gas station were $3.19 for regular, $3.29 for diesel. They're investigating $9.99 for gas. My gosh. I mean, I think in Hawaii it's like $5 a gallon. I mean, it's usually not that heavy. All right, let's jump in and talk to Jim. Hello, Jim. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hello.
What's going on? Yeah, I'm good.
Yes, there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of things going on, but this is a story that you probably have some interest in, and everybody should be concerned about it. There's this woman called Cindy Martin. She was this supervisor of the city schools here in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed on the news the other day that she was promoted to the deputy secretary of the Department of Education.
At the federal level.
What's that?
Federally, right? So she's one of Biden's appointees now.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the reason that she was picked for this appointment is because she defied Betsy DeVos in every way when she was the head mm-hmm. of Department of Education.
Mm-hmm.
And this person, from my observations, is the LBJ of the DOE. She is a political animal, and she is somebody that everybody should be concerned about is in charge of the education of their children.
That's good to know.
Yeah,
it's good to know, man. I mean, I hadn't seen that name pop up, but I will certainly add that to my roster of stuff. Hey, you hung up yesterday before we had a chance to connect you with the coach, right? Is that the case, Jim?
No, I thought you dumped me because I was rambling.
No. I know Josh wants to talk to you, so I'm going to put you on hold, okay? So he can get you to follow up with what the coach was talking about yesterday. So I'm going to put you back on hold. I appreciate you being out there, Jim. So we got Jim on line one. I'm going to go next up here to Joey. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, I just love the Israelis.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, so you're talking about because that story with the Washington Post tipping them off?
I mean, they're so tiny, but they're so ferocious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you got a lot of problems in the streets over there. You've got rockets landing everywhere. You got rioting taking place over there as well. And,
wow.
and it was interesting because Netanyahu said overnight, he used a very specific word to discuss what was happening. He said that we were going to restore quiet. He didn't say, like, we're going to take action, we're going to do this. He said he wants to restore quiet, which is a really interesting word to choose, Joey.
Wow. What, do you know any of the statistics on the 1967 Six-Day War?
Yes, I am familiar with that story. Absolutely, and it was a huge battle that took place that ended up going the way of the IDF. But you know, there's a number of these battles that go back and forth over there at any given point, and so that's the challenge that's going on when you look at this stuff. Let's go to Terry next. Terry, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Brett.
Hey.
I just got a comment, what you was talking about earlier about the government taking care of us and everything.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's a song from by 10 Years After that goes, tax the rich, feed the poor till there are no rich no more. If it was not for the millionaires and the billionaires that create jobs for those of us that don't have the means or the intelligence to start a company, we would not have jobs for we would be able to better ourselves
and
invest in the greatest country in the world.
It's a good point. The government
cannot promise that for none of us.
Yeah.
We the people means let us decide, and you do what we the people decide. Thanks, Brett.
I appreciate you being there, Terry. Thank you so much. I'm happy to hear from you. You're right. It's fascinating to me. The two biggest villains in modern history, modern political history, the two biggest villains are the pharmaceutical companies and the energy companies. I am still waiting to see the big speech given by all these progressive leftists about how great the pharmaceutical companies were at being able to come together, marshal resources, and take on COVID-19. I'm also abundantly curious to see how much they're still loving the Green New Deal over there on the left, because what you're witnessing here in the East Coast, the Southeast, and all the way up to New Jersey, is what happens when you don't have energy, when you have scarcity of energy. Man, we hate those pipeline companies. We hate them so much that President Klain had President Biden sign that directive to kill off 100,000 jobs at the Keystone XL pipeline. Crazy Gretchen Whitmer is trying to shut down the pipelines there in Michigan. Why would you want to do that? It's insane. Garrett is up next. Hello, Garrett. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Brett. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Hey, good. Actually, I want to say something kind of funny. It's getting harder and harder to get through to you. That's awesome. That means you're getting more and more listeners. I think it's growing by the day, man.
Oh, that's cool. Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. So something I want to talk about, actually, you know, with the mask and everything. So I literally almost did, like, if it were possible, a backflip out of my driver's seat when I heard that information. I was like, oh, my gosh, that's sooner than what we were expecting. So I'm kind of curious, you know, I've got to be careful with what I say, but me working and delivering for Amazon, we spoke previously before.
Sure.
You know, they've had a lot of regulations in place. You know, I'm totally cool. Hey, if you want to wear a mask, that's fine. I don't point at you and laugh if you want to wear it. I always do it. I don't want to offend anyone and things like that. And,
right.
Of course, most people's employers, you know, kind of force you to. You have to.
Yep.
It is what it is.
That's right.
I've done it. But, you know, we've had actually, you know, people that are working in the Amazon warehouse directly. I think I might have this wrong. I think it's called social distancing enforcers. And what they do is actually get paid $15 an hour, you know, what have you, to stand there and yell 6 feet, 6 feet apart.
That's horrible.
I swear.
That's horrible.
It's kind of funny. But so they did get rid of this as far as after the holidays. They did have a big screen.
Right.
A big 60-inch flat screen TV that actually had, it was some kind of a circle indicator that lit.
No kidding, really.
If you are not maintaining 6 foot.
Oh, my God. That's unbelievable. I'm sorry, I'm up against it, Garrett. It's a great point, though. I'm Brett Winterble, News Talk 1110-993 WBT.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
AM Sharp. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterble Show for a... Is this Friday? It's Friday, huh? Wow. Yesterday felt like Friday to me. But today is Friday. And please be very patient. You will find gasoline eventually. I'm bummed out for everybody who's stressing out about it. I'm stressing out about it. We're all stressing out about it. But don't let it get to you. One little bright spot. I did see a report earlier today that said that the replacement of the bridge down in Rock Hill is actually moving ahead of schedule over the Catawba River. It's actually moving a little bit ahead of schedule. So there's a bright spot there, because otherwise we could really be in a pickle. I've got a story later on this hour about what happened to the dark side hackers. Have you heard about this? They're freaking out. The guys that took down the Colonial Pipeline, they've suddenly run into a really bad spate of luck. We'll talk about that later in the hour. And by the way, I will be the guide host on the Rush Limbaugh Show next week. So this coming week, starting Monday, and it'll be Monday through Friday, I will be the guide host on the EIB network, and I will be doing this show as well. Except I think on Wednesday, where Bo Thompson will be covering for me on that one day. Late last night, not really late, about like 9 o'clock last night, I was out there on social media. I was on Twitter. I was on Facebook. I really want to quit them so badly, but I was asked a question, and I said I would answer it, and I wanted to be forthcoming. Somebody asked me a question about how it first happened, and I thought to myself, wow, boy, that's quite a question there. So I said, okay, you know what I'll do? I'll tell a little bit about how it first happened on the Facebook page, and then I'll tell you guys here on WBT because you're like my radio family. And, you know, I want to share as much as I can with you guys because I feel like we've built a relationship over the last year. And our number 704-570-1110. So for those of you who are just joining us, my first time, I remember pulling into the convenience store gas station to buy it for the first time. I didn't know what I was doing. I was nervous. I pointed to one package next to the counter, and the woman behind the counter told me it was $7.25. I paid with a $10 bill. I got my change. I grabbed the paper bag, and I hurriedly went back to my car, uncertain of what would happen next. Now, at that point, I said I would tell the rest of the story, sort of Paul Harvey style, here on the air. So I got in the car. I drove home. I got home. I locked the door, the front door. I locked the front door of the house, and I opened the bag. I took out the package and beheld what I had just bought. I never thought anything like this would ever happen. I had seen stuff like this on TV, even in movies, but never in person and certainly never in my house. I opened the package, fumbled with it for a moment, and I put it on. It was weird. Didn't fit right. Was I doing it right? I turned and approached my mirror to see what it looked like. Suddenly, I found it like a panic attack coming over me. My heart was racing. How long am I supposed to keep this thing on? Do I wear it at home? Do I wear it outside? Do I keep it stored? I hated it instantly. Occasionally, I'd get up in the middle of the night and try using it again and again, turning on only a lamp, a dim desk lamp. But then came a fateful day. I had to travel. I had to go to the airport. What do I do? What am I supposed to do when I get to TSA? They're going to look and they're going to see it and they're going to say to me, what's going on here? I was nervous. I was clammy. My palms were sweaty. I was absolutely fearful. Thinking back to those trips at night and trying to figure stuff out, trying to find my way in the world. Well, I'd never done this before, so I went for it. It changed me. I was never the same. You know, certain events in your life change your very wiring. They change your very, almost like your spiritual and mental DNA. Because you expect one thing and then something else happens and you go, what was that? And I did it a couple more times. And then it became a regular habit. It seemed like I was doing it multiple times a day. It was absolutely unbelievable. That darn mask would be one of the dozens that I would own over the next 14 months. First, I was reluctant. First, I was unsure about when do I put it on? Do I put it on in the car? Do I drive with it in the car? Do I put it on in the car and then go into the place? Do I keep it in my pocket and then put it on my face when I get to the door? Do I do it when I cross the threshold of the store to get my shopping cart? When do I actually use it? When is the moment right? When have I built up enough courage to use that thing that I had never used in my life? And I was as nervous as a schoolboy. Well, before I knew it, I was doing it every day, multiple times a day. Convenience stores, ABC stores, big box stores, Wally World, the park, a restaurant. Sometimes I'd lose my mind and I'd do it in my own yard in front of the neighbors. And it became a part of me. You know, they say things can change a man. That thin layer of neoprene sold to me by that lovely lady behind the counter for $7.25 put me on a road to servitude. And now I find myself having withdrawals. Sometimes I even dream about it. But I know I've been changed. That darn mask. I'm Brett Winterble, News Talk. What did you think I was talking about? Are you kidding me? I'm Brett Winterble, News Talk 1110993WBT.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110993WBT. It is the Brett Winterble Show, 704-570-1110. Oh, something must be going on with Terry. Hold on a second. He's calling back. Terry, welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show. What's going on, Terry? You okay?
Hey, Rick. I'm still laughing about this.
What? We're laughing about what? What are you laughing about?
You said you bought something at a store and brought it home, and you was looking in a mirror, and you didn't really like what you saw.
That's right.
And everything. I was thinking about a Speedo.
A Speedo? Not in a convenience. Who buys convenience store Speedos? Go ahead and register that domain, because that's a great punk band name right there. Convenience store Speedo. That's buying a Speedo. It was a mask.
Hey, man. I'm just kidding with you.
Yes, sir.
Because I look in the mirror sometimes myself.
Oh, my Lord. That's too much information for Terry. All right, you go rest now, Terry. You're going to get that heart palpitations going there, man. You be careful out there. Did people think I meant something else? I mean, why would you draw any kind of... I got someone on Twitter who says to me, my mind was in the gutter. Have we become so coarsened that I would talk about things beneath us? This is about the mask, the omnipresent mask thing that's happening out there. And there was a first time. See, here's what's interesting. There was a first time for everybody. Everybody remembers their first time that they had to finally acquire a stupid mask. And maybe you kept wearing the paper one over and over again. You wore the paper one until it wore out, and then you had to figure out where to go get more masks. I mean, but everybody remembers their first time. For some people, it was in a car. Other people, it was in an office. It might have been at a store. And it was a match at first sight. It was a you got that mask, and you said, okay, this is great. This is great. I'm now masking up. And then at some point, what happens is you get enough experience with the mask that you then have to decide, I got to get involved with other masks. I got to like try other ones. Now, do I wear the gator? Do I wear a bandana like an Old West robber? Do I ski mask? I watched a guy at CPAC. I told this story. I watched a guy at CPAC who came walking through, and his mask was like a sequined. It was like a sequin, like something like an exotic belly dancer would keep, like as a veil over his face. This was a grown guy, like 6'6", 255, all Bojangles, okay? This guy was not in any kind of shape, which I love Bojangles, by the way. But here's the thing. I'm looking at the guy, and he's walking, and he's got sequined mask. There's absolutely no medical protection there. He's just wearing a mask to be a wise guy. I saw somebody wearing pantyhose once, and not even on their legs. Looked like the old 1970s bank robbers. So, I mean, the thing is, we all went through that at one point, and I do remember everything I told you, everything I said, everything I described to you was 100% true. But it's interesting when you do a thought experiment like that where people kind of go with it, which I always think is really cool. Michigan High School is charging unvaccinated students $80 to attend prom while vaccinated kids get in free. A Michigan high school has created a two-tiered price structure for its prom this year. $80 for unvaccinated students and free for those who have gotten the coronavirus vaccine. Southfield Regional Academic Campus Prom is scheduled for June 14th, according to a listing of the 2021 graduation events. The information from the school district says fully vaccinated attendees go for free, while not vaccinated students will be charged $80. It's not a violation of the law, as we are not requiring individuals to receive the vaccine, nor are we prohibiting those without a vaccine from attending, said Superintendent Jennifer Martin Green in an email to a resident. Green's email concluded with a disclaimer. Southfield Public Schools does not discriminate on the basis of race, color, religion, national origin, gender, disability, age, height, weight, marital status, genetic information, or any other legally protected characteristic in its programs and activities, including employment opportunities. It's clearly they employ the dumb, because this person is dumb. Breitbart News asked Green if the two-tiered price structure would be a form of discrimination. She did not respond. The Michigan Department of Health and Human Services recently ruled that that vaccinated students would be exempt from weekly coronavirus testing as a condition to play sports. As a result, school districts and athletic organizations are requiring proof. So where's the $80 going for the kids that didn't get the shot? Probably into somebody's pocket, no doubt. I'm guessing that's going to the slush fund. We call that the bonus pile. So then, you know what's weird? Since they're going to charge $80 for kids that are not vaccinated, you would think they would encourage the unvaccinated to show up, because they're going to make more money. The more unvaccinated kids show up, the better. You know what ought to happen? You want to teach these nincompoops a lesson? Here's what you do. As adults, you get as many adults as you can to show up for the prom and tell them that you identify as a high school junior. Look, I get it. You're looking at me and you're saying, 59-year-old man, but I identify as a junior, and I have to come into the prom, and I have not had the vaccine, so here's my $80. That's how you teach. We don't discriminate on any basis of anything, except we're going to charge you $80 for the access to the prom, which is actually crazy. You can't see. This is the punitive nature of progressives. Progressives love to fine normal people. Just regular normal people, they'll fine you. If there were no HOAs, progressives would have to invent them. Hi. Yes, can I help you? We just want to inspect your refrigerator and make sure that you've only got vegan food in your refrigerator. Well, actually, no, I have a bunch of meat in there. Okay, well, your HOA bill this month, because you've contributed to global warming, which means we're going to have more rainstorms, we have to do more maintenance on our property this year, your bill is going to be an extra $80 a month.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110-993 WVT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. 704-570-1110 is our number. I'm going to share with you this story in a matter of moments, but people have been patiently holding on, and I want to talk to George, who is first up. Hello, George. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Brett. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for calling in today.
Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'm calling in about this conversation on student vaccination.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, in light of the CDC announcement yesterday about the masks and vaccinations, sort of really happy to see that science, reality has come to play there. And I got to ask you, Brett, do you believe students should be vaccinated?
Well, since they're by and large, they're minors, right? I think it's up to them and their parents and, you know, in consultation with their physicians. Yeah. I mean, I'm a big believer in parental choice.
I'm asking. I mean, do you think it makes sense for them to be vaccinated? Is that the risk worth the...
I don't know, because here's the thing. I got a vaccine. And I'm not a 17-year-old, right? So I have a lot of years behind me, and I have fewer years in front of me than 17-year-old would have. So I think it's a matter of waiting and seeing what the doctor recommends, what the science recommends. So, you know, in terms of the kids, I think that's got to be something decided by the parents and the kids.
As I understand it, you know, the numbers for teenagers and on down students is very, very low.
Right.
You know, as for getting COVID and that causing any big problems.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, we're looking at a situation, it seems to me, that, you know, it don't make really good sense, and it should not be, these penalties being levied against.
Well, see, what they're doing is, but they're telling you it's not a penalty.
Okay, that's my opinion.
They're telling you it's a reward for the kid that got the vaccine, not a penalty for the person who didn't. This is in Michigan, by the way. Yvonne, is that your name?
My name's Yvonne.
Oh, Yvonne. I'm sorry. Yvonne, welcome to the show.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to talk about the same thing because the way I look at it is a penalty. If paying the $80 somehow made them not dangerous as far as COVID was concerned, that would be one thing. But it doesn't change anything about the students. All they're doing is trying to penalize the ones that didn't and force them to get the vaccine. If it would do something, if paying the $80 made them less susceptible to COVID or whatever.
Right.
But it doesn't.
I think it's punitive, okay? I think it's punitive, but they're going to tell you that it's a reward. I appreciate the call, Yvonne. Dark Side Ransomware Gang. So the gang that busted the pipeline that we are all now suffering because of the pipeline was hammered by ransomware. Dark Side Ransomware Gang says it lost control of its servers and the money it stole a day after the Biden threat. Oh, cry me a river, you silly geese. A day after U.S. President Joe Biden said the U.S. plans to disrupt the hackers behind the Colonial Pipeline cyber attack, the operator of the Dark Side ransomware said the group lost control of its web servers and some of the funds that it made from ransom payments. Quote, a few hours ago, we lost access to the public part of our infrastructure, namely the blog, payment server, and CDN servers, said DarkSup, the operator of the Dark Side ransomware, in a post spotted by Recorded Future Threat Intelligence, Dimitri Smilantis. Now, these servers are unavailable via SSH, and the hosting panels are blocked, said the Dark Side operator, while also complaining that the web hosting provider will not cooperate with the hacks. In addition, the Dark Side operator also reported that cryptocurrency funds had been withdrawn from the gang's payment server. This is great. If this is true, if 10% of this is true, I love it. I love it. But it doesn't go anywhere near enough to get even with these idiots. So in addition, they reported that the cryptocurrency funds that they shook down from companies were also withdrawn from the gang's payment server, which was hosting ransom payments made by victims. The funds, which the Dark Side gang was supposed to split between itself and its affiliates, the threat actors who breach networks and deploy the ransomware, were transferred to an unknown wallet, DarkSup said. This sudden development comes after U.S. authorities announced the intention to go after the gang. In two conferences this week, Monday and Thursday, President Biden himself came out and said the U.S. would go after the group after one of its attacks crippled a major fuel transport pipeline, impacting half of the East Coast. We have been in direct communication with Moscow about the imperative for responsible countries to take decisive action against these ransomware networks, Biden said. We're also going to pursue a measure to disrupt their ability to operate. That's what Biden said. Now, here's the weird twist. The weird twist is there's concern that this ransomware group is lying and it's an exit scam. It's an opportunity for them to kind of like disappear with fake information going out there. Smilantis warns that the group's announcement could also be a ruse. That's right, I said a ruse. As no announcement's been made by U.S. officials. Well, of course. We were announcing no masks yesterday. We can't announce that we stole their cryptocurrency. The group could be taking advantage of President Biden's statements as cover to shut down its infrastructure and run away with the money without paying their cuts. A tactical advantage called an exit scam. Reached for comment, a spokesperson for the Justice Department said, the department does not comment on active investigations. We could not confirm a coordinated action from any U.S. entity. And while we're at it, we're busily spying on all those Trump voters. Okay, I added that. That's not really true. Smolientis, Smolens, Spoils. It's been a busy past 24 hours for ransomware gangs. The news that DarkSide lost control of its servers and that a major cybercrime forum was banning ransomware ads, all happening within a span of hours for each other, had an effect on Re:Evil, arguably considered the biggest ransomware operation. In quoting DarkSide's now-deleted statement, Re:Evil Knievel, I remember when he jumped Snake River Canyon, spokesperson unknown made an announcement that they plan to stop advertising their ransomware as a service platform and, quote, go private, a term that cybercrime gangs use to describe their intention to work with only a small number of trusted people. So either we get to root and say, okay, this is great, they took them down, or they're scared and they're running.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
I think this is great. I say we hunt them to the ends of the earth. That's what I say. Give that man no quarter. News Talk 1110 to 99.3 WBT, Brett Witterbull Show. Let me go out on the phones. I want to talk to Tom up next. Hey, Tom, welcome to the show. What's on your mind, sir?
Hello and hearty good afternoon to you, sir.
And to you as well.
Yeah. I wanted to, you know, you were talking about the mask.
Yes, sir.
When to wear it, when not to wear it. What I do now, I just have it hanging off one ear.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going in, and if I'm wrong, I'll just take it off. If I'm right, I got it right there. Almost like a gun in a holster.
Oh, gosh, I know what you're talking about. I see so many people do this, and I have seen on occasion, probably three or four times during this entire mask mania that's gone on, I have seen people really lose their minds at people who see you wearing the mask with the ear loop on one ear, and they'll say something like, "Why even bother? Why even bother? Because you're showing me disrespect as a fellow human being if you don't have enough decency to put a mask over your face." Yeah, but if I've got the shot, then what do you care? I mean,
yeah, really? Yeah, same here. But, I mean, you know, I was so reassured when Biden and what's that guy, Secretary of Transportation?
Buttigieg?
No, I call him Butt Giggle. But anyway, they were so reassuring on that this gas line problem will not happen again.
Sure, okay.
You know, all I can say is in Lake Wylie, we have no flatulence, no gas.
Yeah, I got you, man. All right, I appreciate you being out there. Tom's bringing his A-game material. I like that A-game material a lot. So I'm watching this drama play out on Twitter, and I know I should just stay away from Twitter. Guess what the outrage of the day is today? The outrage of the day today, if you're out there on the socialist media, because that's what it is, it's socialist media, the outrage of the day is Trader Joe's. You ever go to Trader Joe's? You ever shop at Trader Joe's, eat Trader Joe's stuff? You probably like it, right? I mean, if you shop, there's things about it you like. Oh, my gosh. I'm trying to figure out how to break this to you because some of you are going to be triggered. Trader Joe's will no longer require customers to wear masks. You can determine whether or not you want to wear the mask at Trader Joe's. The reaction from the virtue signaling left is as predictable as one of those cat toys that's got the ball that spins around the chamber so the cat can smack it around. Oh man, the ball just keeps coming around. That ball just keeps coming around again. It doesn't go anywhere else. Leslie Mack on Twitter. Welp. Who writes welp in a tweet? I don't know what the sound of welp is. Welp. I was just getting used to making the trip to Trader Joe's as well. This is shameful and harmful to their employees. Just awful. No, why? Can the employees not get shots? Can the employees not get vaccines? Can the employees not wear masks? I mean, I think the employees can not wear masks if they want, right? Well, meanwhile, Kroger, Home Depot, and Starbucks all said that they're going to keep their policies mandating shopper masks. Welp, I was just getting used to Kroger, Home Depot, and Starbucks. No, I wasn't. My therapist asked me what my safe space is. I said Trader Joe's, specifically the dip section. So you've got people losing their minds because Trader Joe's says we're not going to enforce a mask mandate. The CDC does not enforce the mask mandate. So now this has become the political thing, right? All the soft, pliable, man-bun-wearing, sandal-wearing leftists are saying, I'm not going into Trader Joe's. You're lying. You're going. You're still going to Trader Joe's to get your tabbouleh. You're still going there. And I know what you're buying. You're going into that vegan section and you're loading up on the vegan stuff. You know you are. You can't say no to those ginger snaps. Come on now. And they've got a great sale on Leinenkugel. You're still going to shop. See, I've gotten to this place in my life. I'm old enough to know. People will go on the socialist media, on social media platforms, and they will make these declarations, and then they don't ever follow through on them. Because I know people personally that then I see at the places that they're boycotting. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Rick. Hello, Rick. Welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, excuse me. I was just watching Newsmax.
Yes, sir.
And they played the new campaign to get military people to volunteer.
Yes, sir.
Have you seen that?
I have. Yes, I have.
It's a cartoon.
It is.
What do you think about that?
So what it is it's a cartoon about a young woman who has two moms, and it talks about her journey through school and life and all that sort of stuff, and she decides she wants to go and give back and serve in the United States military. She ends up, I think, with the Patriot Missile Battery, I think, is what she's doing. And then at the end, they do this reveal where it goes from cartoon character to the real person, and she says, I'm Jane Smith, and this is my story, or something like that. I don't have an issue with the soldier. I have an issue with this new thing that's been kind of being unveiled. There's this socially conscious kind of approach towards recruiting people in the military, the CIA. You've seen it in a number of different iterations. Now, here's what I want to say. We are a country that's incredibly diverse with a lot of people with a lot of talent. And if you're willing to sign up and go serve in the United States Army to defend us against the enemies of the world, then I'm going to question nothing about you. What I don't like is, frankly, the use of I don't like cartoons for adult stories.
There's nothing funny or cartoon.
No, it's not. And so as a consequence, I know I'm going to be a fuddy-duddy. I'm not adult cartoon guy. I don't watch cartoons. I don't go home and watch cartoons. I don't watch Family Guy. I mostly watch like war documentaries, NASCAR, real sports for people that watch real sport. I love boxing, especially like the Canelo fight last. I love all that kind of stuff. I don't have time for cartoons. And if I am going to watch a cartoon, it's going to be something really kind of cuddly and cute. Like, I don't know. The regular show. Something like that. 704-570-1110. News Talk 11.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Hour number 3 underway on this beautiful Friday. 704-570-1110 is our phone number to be a part of the conversation. I want to recognize some incredibly important people in our community because of what this week has been and will continue to be until tomorrow and into Sunday. And it is National Police Week. And it is a tradition that was established by President Kennedy way, way, way back once upon a time. And it's an opportunity to salute and to remember the men and women in law enforcement who quite literally ensure that we are kept safe from the dangers out there in the world. I know it's become an incredibly unpopular thing to talk about in some quarters, though certainly not here on WBT or in my personal universe. I respect the sacrifice that men and women put on that badge to do, to go into the most dangerous, heinous, risky situations, all the while having to take incoming from crooked and cheap politicians who wouldn't dare do that job for all of Jeff Bezos's money. You have to be wired a certain way, I think, to be somebody who wants to step up and be a member of law enforcement. I think one of the things that people fail to understand about law enforcement is the extensive work that goes into taking somebody and accepting them into a an academy program, and then having them go through the training, go through their time with a training officer, and then get out there on the streets to patrol. It takes an immense amount of sacrifice, an immense amount of sacrifice right now to be an officer. And so many departments have gone asking for more officers to come back out, only to find that the folks that are willing to step up and do this kind of work are just not available. And the reason they're not available is because of, well, you know, low rent politicians in the U.S. Congress. You know who the folks are that look down their noses at police officers, who in some cases, I think, hate police officers. You see routine calls for defunding the police. You see routine calls for abolishing the police. And it's not just the police, the local police department. It's ICE. It's Border Patrol. It's Customs and Border Patrol. I remember watching with amazement, as somebody who grew up on the Mexican border, I remember watching with amazement the ignorance, and I mean profound ignorance, of these progressive, regressive Congress folks running around talking about why it was we needed to abolish ICE. You know, Immigration and Customs Enforcement isn't just about deporting people back to countries. It's also about stopping human trafficking, actual human trafficking. It's about stopping counterfeit products. It's about stopping drugs that are going to come into your country and kill your kids, fentanyl. It's about reuniting people who have been trafficked at the hands of the cartels. And the answer from the progressives, the regressives, is always the same. It's the cops' fault. It's the cops' fault. It's the cops' fault. So when you look at the National Police Week 2021, and we had obviously the commemoration here in Charlotte with the 21-gun salute for the men and women who have lost their lives serving this country, you know, I'm struck by something, because tomorrow is going to be a very important date. The annual National Peace Officers Memorial Service at the United States Capitol. And here's what I wonder. You know, after the insurrection that took place on January the 6th, it was very in vogue for people that we knew to be police haters, because you can see them when they show up on TV doing it, suddenly picking up the mantle of law enforcement as a noble service, a vital service, that thin blue line that kept the congressmen, women, and senators safe on that horrible day on January the 6th, when violence broke out at the Capitol. They love law enforcement when they can use it for their end, in the same way they loved the military when they could use it for their end back during the Iraq war and the engagements in Afghanistan. I remember Jack Murtha, a profoundly corrupt member of the United States Congress, who was calling our men and some women in Iraq. They were baby killers. They were murderers. And it turned out that those men and women were not baby killers and murderers, but he would go on routinely on MSNBC and would smear those men and women who were serving in the U.S. Armed Forces. It's got to be such an incredible gift to be a progressive regressive, where you get to pick when it is you're willing to celebrate law enforcement in the U.S. military and when it is you choose not to. See, as for me, I respect the men and women in the United States military, the armed forces. I respect their spouses and their families that are at home while these men and women are deployed. I respect peace officers, and I do believe they are peace officers who are going out on patrol to ensure the peace. And I respect them every day. I have the privilege of dropping my son off at school each day, and I have the privilege of seeing those officers who are there, armed officers who are there at the school to protect the children, the students. And I always give them a thumbs up. I always thank them for their service. And I think that's vitally important to do, because we should not take them for granted. These men and women who put on that uniform should be remembered not just this week, but the other 51 weeks out of the year as well. They should not be regarded as a cast-off or a throwaway. It's not a job for C students, as the old narrative goes. These are men and women that we ask and task with the duties of dealing with people we would never want to encounter. To go into an apartment or a home and see a horrible abuse situation, or a homicide or a suicide. We ask them to go out and clean up our communities, and then we demand they do it in a particular way that will not offend cable news channels. And I don't know what that means. I don't know how many of those professional protesters and the folks that come out against the police at every turn, I don't know how many of them would like every place they went to be filmed and to be taunted and to be told that they were Nazis and killers and all that sort of stuff. My guess is they probably wouldn't like that. So we ought to show a little grace to these men and women, some of whom may lose their lives this weekend, protecting our communities. And to all the local men and women in law enforcement in our community here in Charlotte, North Carolina and to South Carolina, I say thank you. We are grateful for what you do.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Because of what you do, we can do what we do. And we ought to have your back. News Talk 1110-993 WBT, Brett Witterbull Show. How about this little story? San Francisco tech companies, and I'm sure this is happening all throughout the country, San Francisco tech companies are sitting on record amounts of empty office space, and they're offering perks to try to bring tenants in because of the shutdowns. Cloudera exited its downtown San Francisco office early last year with plans to sublease the space and move its employees south to the software company's Silicon Valley headquarters. But the pandemic left the company with nobody to take over the office, forcing it to take a substantial real estate write-down. At DoorDash's nearby former headquarters, a tenant defaulted on rent a month into the lockdown, resulting in lost income for the food delivery company, which was doubling as a landlord. So what's our takeaway? People want to get the hell out of San Francisco. People want to get the hell out of cities that are governed by ungovernable leaders. Chesa Boudin and London Breed run the city of San Francisco, which even under perfect circumstances, you had to make sure you put those booties over your shoes before you went walking down the street because of the ankle-deep feces. I mean, it's an incredible sin to do that to a city that is as beautiful geographically speaking, and as blessed as it is with natural resources, the politics are just positively beyond loony. But in place after place, San Francisco, New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Philadelphia, all of these places, people are fleeing. Why do you think that is? Why do you think all those people are fleeing those places and coming to Charlotte, coming to the Carolinas, coming to Nashville, coming to Texas? Why, oh, why would they be leaving those? What? I'm sorry, did you say? No, it's people of all kinds of backgrounds. I mean, it's people who are black, white, Hispanic, Asian. They're people who want to be able to live on streets or work in an area where the streets are safe, where the criminals haven't taken over. My gosh, we are having mass shootings every other day in these blue cities. There was a huge mass shooting in Colorado Springs just a couple of weeks ago. Nobody talked about it, but they talked about it at the supermarket back a number of weeks before that. Joe Biden told us he was going to go and take all your guns, but there's no momentum for that at all because the thing that the progressives cannot rely on is this. They cannot rely on it being a bunch of old white guys with AR-15s running around in the woods. And I'm using that sort of idiotic stereotype for a reason, because over the course of the pandemic and the shutdown and the collapse of order in cities, guess what? People from every background suddenly discovered the importance of the Second Amendment. And now Kamala and Joe and AOC and the rest of them are never going to be able to get that kind of head pressure that they need to ram through the Beto gun grab. And that's a good thing, because you have 20 million new gun owners walking the streets of America today. So these cities are in decline. And you can sublease all you want, but it's about where people want to live. People don't want to move. Nobody woke up this morning and said, I'm going to San Francisco. Unless they started in some hellhole in which San Francisco would be an upgrade. Let's go on the phones and talk to John next up. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Kind of curious about the office. Just heard about the office thing in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Would that not make great sanctuary offices?
Yeah.
You know, it's a good opportunity. But what I called about was, okay, you know, the people that are kind of upset with police intervention over, you know, overpowering and encroachment and everything else, I thought, okay, so when somebody calls you and they're wanting to sell you car insurance mm-hmm. for your 80,000-mile Ford Fiesta, or they're wanting to sell you a magazine subscription, you put them on a do not call list.
That's right.
Okay, so why don't we have a do not help list? So if you're really upset with how government's encroaching on you, the police are overpowering, mm-hmm. okay, check this box. And don't call me. Don't help me. If I call 911, the response is, your number has been added to this list. Mm-hmm. And because of your, you know, your reaction to how we've assisted the community in the past, mm-hmm. we're going to abide by your wishes. We're not going to do anything.
Okay, I get it. I mean, in theory, I like the idea, but you know what the impediment's going to be in that? The cops are not going to do it. They have a sense of duty. And
yeah, because they're dedicated to their...
Exactly. Profession. Exactly. I mean, look, it's not cops saying, hey, are you in favor of the cops or are you against the cops when we roll up? Because if you're against the cops, we're not arresting anybody. We'll roll up and answer your call, but we're going to leave you to deal with whatever situation you got. They're not reacting in a punitive way at all.
So my answer to that is very mm-hmm. simple. Mm-hmm. If you do, if you're a police officer and you do answer to that call, you have to put $5 into a jar.
No, that's a great idea. I don't look, here's the thing. You can't try to hold hypocritical people to a standard because they're just going to keep moving that standard, and that's the problem. That is the ultimate problem. Can I give you an idea on the way out the door though, because you mentioned the sanctuary offices?
Yes.
Why you got these beautiful offices? I mean, beautiful offices in these big cities that are going vacant. Why can we not convert those and the malls that have dried up into low-income housing, into affordable housing? I mean, I don't think DoorDash is coming back, so why don't you let people who are otherwise not able to get a nice fancy apartment with a view, why don't you use it as low-income housing?
Well, who's going to benefit from that?
Well, the people who are poor. Hey, man, I appreciate you being there. Look, there's ways to fix all these problems. But if we want to try to say, well, we're gonna boycott, we're gonna use a reverse boycott where the police won't come to answer your call. Nah, the cops are stand-up people. They will answer the call regardless of the hate that may be directed at them. I mean, we saw Nancy Pelosi getting her hair done, and then she put the hairstylist out of business. I mean, it's disgraceful the way these people act.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. This is that time period in the program in which we cross the streams, PM to AM to PM to AM, you name it. Bo Thompson joins us here on the line. He is... the host of the Bo Thompson Morning Show, and he's doing a terrific job. And we give him a hearty congratulations on your renewal and extension. Good to have you here, my friend.
Hey, thanks, man. Happy Friday. I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to great days ahead with you and the team, and happy to be here.
It's good to have you here, and we are thrilled, absolutely thrilled. let me start with this. We're looking at a changing environment. I was talking about this earlier. You know, Trader Joe's has announced that they're not going to do a mask mandate when it comes to customers that are coming into the stores. We're starting to see these different retail chains and how it is this one will react and that one is going to react. One aspect of this story, though, is the idea of office space vacancies. We know that here in Charlotte, there's a large amount of vacancy space here that would otherwise be occupied because of the coronavirus pandemic. All the big cities have gone through this. Even in San Francisco, the tech companies are sitting on massive amounts of empty space. Nobody wants to sublet. Nobody wants to do this. Do you think that as a result of this shutdown and the way things have gone, Bo, that work is going to change on a permanent basis? We won't have these centralized places where people will all gather together in one location?
I think the centralized locations will be smaller because there's no, I mean, it's already changed.
Right.
I mean, there are companies that have already said we're giving employees the option of never coming back. And there are all kinds of stories that you see right now about people who have taken that and run with it, i.e., gone on. Like, there's a story I read last week, and I can't remember where it was. I wish I had it in front of me, but it essentially said that a more common than you realize practice is people have vacation properties.
Yep.
And for vacation properties that they used to go for 2 or 3 weeks a year on vacation weeks, now they've retreated to those actual spots for every day because they can work remotely.
Yep.
And I just wonder, I think there will be those that, probably on the older end, you know, the traditionalists that grew up and have grown up in their business life working at a centralized location. But, I mean, the numbers already show you that the space that's empty right now is empty for two reasons. A, it's empty because the people that used to be there are gone.
Right.
But there's nobody to replace them in that space.
Right. And so something has to be reimagined to go into that space then, which is the real challenge, I think.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be a lot of just sitting around the drawing board, around the table, for those who actually show up to the actual conference room and figuring out how much bigger or how much actual brick-and-mortar real estate that traditional companies need. I mean, from here on out, there already are companies that don't have that spot.
Right.
And the Zoom meeting, I mean, I was joking the other day, we had a Zoom meeting and we're not unusual. I mean, we have we've become so accustomed to Zoom.
Yes.
And when I say we, I mean as a society, not necessarily a building.
Sure.
But I was joking to myself the other day that we actually had a meeting in our building where several of the people were really, you know, several feet away from each other, but in different, you know, behind different screens.
Sure.
So if you looked at the Zoom, it looked like we were all over the place when really we weren't.
I know. I love when someone's talking and they're just down the hall and you can hear them, like the echo coming through because they're coming through on two mics.
Right.
That's always the best. On that very point, and I think this is an interesting component here. You know, there are people who moved during the pandemic and may or may not have told their bosses that they moved, right? So maybe you were based in Dallas, but you went up to Colorado Springs or something. And now you got to start to say, wait, I got to unwind my whole life and go back to how it was, or I got to ask permission to work remotely on a permanent basis. It's just going to create a massive amount of headaches for everybody.
Well, and there was a point during the pandemic where we weren't sure when we were going to come back.
True.
You didn't see that light at the end of the tunnel. And remember, we came out of last summer and felt like you were sort of headed toward some sense of normalcy. And then we had that spike around Thanksgiving and Christmas time and thereabouts January. I think there are a lot of people that wondered if we'd even come back this year. And now here we are not even halfway through the year, and I think some people are getting requests to come back that had basically gambled and said it's going to be a lot longer than I think it is.
Yeah, and on top of that, you know, people starting to book out trips and looking at maybe getting on the road, and we got the Colonial Pipeline problem. That's a whole other kettle of fish.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. I heard Mark Arison talking to the Gas Buddy analyst, who's been great the last several days, but speculating out that at least the remnants of this gas shortage are going to extend into Memorial Day weekend. And you have really two things clashing, you know, the gas shortage and people having all this pent up, I've got to get out of town, I've got to go on the vacation that I haven't been able to go on in over a year. And it's going to be interesting to see that those two things kind of compete against each other. Mm-hmm. And I also wonder along those same lines about just the crush of tourism mm-hmm. that's going to happen this summer. You know, some people always go on vacations, some people don't, but I think this summer everybody who can is going to go on some sort of vacation because everybody just wants to get out.
Yeah, no doubt. That's 100% right. Are you gas solid right now? Because I am. I was in a rough spot this morning. I was down to like almost 30 miles, and I was debating whether or not I was going to be remoting today. But I was able to find a place at about 4:50 this morning that had gas.
See, I'm gas solid, and I guess this is one of the very few fringe benefits of getting up at the crack of midnight
that's right.
Or shortly after that. But, you know, I'm on the road really early, so I guess it was Monday morning, right, when you were starting to hear just some hints of this?
Sure.
You know, I went to the gas station mm-hmm. and, filled my car up like I normally would. It just happened to be that was the time that I needed it, and it was, I was the only guy there. But 6 hours later, when I'm on my way home, it's jammed. So just by virtue of the fact of the timing and the time that I get up, I got lucky. So I'm in good shape, but I wouldn't have been if I'd waited one more day.
Would you have brought mayonnaise jars and jerry cans and filled up all kinds of, containers?
Oh, come on. I would have brought paper. I would have brought plastic bags.
Oh, don't do that. Don't be the plastic bag guy. That's terrible. Oh, my gosh. That's horrible.
I wouldn't even have known that. I would never have considered that if they hadn't invented this thing called social media where people chronicle other people doing stupid things. But
yeah, I saw a video of somebody, they were filling buckets like regular buckets like you'd mop your kitchen floor with. They were filling buckets. They were taking buckets of gasoline. You're gonna stop short to get out on the road and your car is gonna become a rolling bomb.
Well, hang on. You did see the video of the person on Twitter. It's all over the place.
Yeah.
Filling up the paper, the plastic bag.
Oh, the plastic bag was insane. And And I also saw the one with the five gallon plastic container that like you stick the Christmas lights in. You know, like that is insane. You picked that up.
The pickup truck with the five or six drums.
Yeah. That was abusive. That was not cool. You know, that's, but hey, you're going to buy the gas you're going to buy. Who we got coming up on the show on Monday, Bo Thompson? What's going on next week?
Monday morning, the return of Mick Mulvaney.
Very cool.
Former White House chief of staff. We got Beth Troutman next week. We have Joe Bruno from Channel 9.
Huge.
Going to be on Wednesday. And then Brett Jensen and.
News Talk 1110 993.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
WBT. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, it's my favorite time of the week when Mark Garrison comes by. We talk about Charlotte at 6. Hello, Mark.
There I am. It's your favorite time of the week because you're 6 minutes away from quitting time.
No. How are you, Mark?
I'm good. How are you?
You know, this pipeline thing is starting to really irritate me.
Is it really?
A little bit.
I actually found some. I was out doing some interviews on the Cooper story this afternoon and came across a gas station that opened while I was there. I was like, yes, I'm getting it.
Very. You didn't bring the mayo jars and the
no,
beer bottles?
No, I didn't put any in a plastic Walmart bag.
Oh, gosh,
yeah.
That is just horrible.
Yeah. Well, we're going to start with what is really a historic day. If you think about it, Cooper, he surprised people, dropped his mask mandate.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're vaccinated or not, you don't have to wear a mask, though businesses can still require you to wear one.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, Cooper said bars and restaurants can go back to full capacity. I'll talk to a restaurant owner uptown who says, that's great, except he's so short of help, he can't do it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, a lot of restaurants have that problem.
I wonder if you're going to see self-serve bars.
That would be interesting.
Open bar.
Well, gas, as you say, is still scarce as hen's teeth. I mean, this is interesting. I don't know if you saw this. So Jennifer Granholm, the energy secretary, tweeted last night, we'll be back to normal by the weekend. And the people at Gas Buddy were like, what is she talking about?
Oh, my gosh.
In North Carolina right now, we're still right around 60% of stations with no gas. So it's going to be a while.
I had a story from one of these tech sites that that said apparently this ransomware group, they had their servers all shut down and everything's been like dismantled, yeah. and they're irate because somebody stole their cryptocurrency and they think it's the federal government went in and just wiped them out and
wow.
they're angry.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah. 6:35, our buddy Pam Warner comes by with the strange news of the week. Of course, the real news is pretty strange, but she's got some even stranger stuff.
I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be great.
Yeah.
All right, sir. We got Charlotte at 6 coming up. Mark Garrison, stick around for that, folks. Let me hit you with this on the way out the door, because I think it's important to understand where we are as a country, where we are as a culture, all of that. We just came through this pandemic, the lockdowns, the shutdowns, and I think it's important for us to think back to where we were about a year ago, because we were filled with massive amounts of hope. For whatever reason, we all thought, okay, once summer comes around, we're going to be okay. Everything's going to be cool. The schools are going to be open. We have kids that have missed basically a year and a half of schooling because you have places that the schools didn't reopen. You have weddings that have been postponed, funerals that never happened, all of that because of the restrictions that were put in place. And it's important to understand something, and we have to remember this. Yes, the coronavirus impacted us and impacted us severely, but we also have to understand that our reaction was the one thing we could control. And I'm not talking about your reaction, my reaction, sitting at the kitchen table worrying about our jobs. I'm talking about the government. I opened the show by talking about the politicians and the government and how they're not any smarter than you. In fact, I believe they're less smart than us. And we should not walk around thinking that the answer is going to manifest itself because the government knows what it's doing. You really want to trust these same politicians again? If this should pop up again? Whitmer, Cooper, Cuomo, Newsom. I mean, we know the cast of characters. I think the great lesson we can take from this, number one, is resilience. But number two is remembering the lesson from this. There is no magic answer coming from the White House or the governor's mansion. We're kind of on our own. As long as we don't turn on each other here in the streets, we can pull this thing out. But we must not fall for the division that the politicians are going to sell. Have a wonderful weekend. Thanks to Josh for running the board all week. I'm Brett Witterbull. We'll do it again on Monday starting at 3. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT.